I want to get to our text from Colossians chapter 1. From this text, we are given some insight as to Paul's dedication to Jesus. First of all, he was willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. We are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I'll read from the New Living Translation. Chapter 2, verse 24. Chapter 1, I got to get this right. Chapter 1, verse 24. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. That's verse 23. Verse 24, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. It's quite an attitude adjustment, isn't it? He was glad to suffer for Jesus? I have to tell you, I know very little about suffering, especially suffering for Jesus. But it seems to me, from a fleshly viewpoint, that the word glad and the word suffering don't fit together. It just seems like they're not on the same page. And yet, for Paul, the word glad and the word suffering seem to fit hand in hand. And not only did it fit hand in hand for Paul, those two words fit hand in hand with Jesus as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And there you have it again. The word suffering and the word joy are linked together. It certainly doesn't make sense from a world's point of view, and it never will. You have to see it from a mindset that comes from Jesus. I'll show you another passage of Scripture where these two realities are linked together. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's crazy, isn't it? To think that we would link the reality of suffering with joy and gladness. And yet, this is God's way. I sat with somebody just this week who is really struggling with being able to understand God's ways. I said to him, if we could understand God, then he wouldn't be a very big God, would he? I mean, if we had God in just a little box that we could wrap our minds around that box and have God and all of his ways figured out, he would have to be about this big. And yet, that's not the case at all. He is a big God. And he is a whole lot bigger than us. And he is a whole lot bigger than what we can figure out and comprehend. He is bigger than us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's going to be some things about God that we can't fully comprehend. And one of the realities of the kingdom is that he is able to take suffering and he is able to work good from it. For instance, our forgiveness is a result of his suffering. And here's another, for instance, our spiritual growth can cause, it can come about from suffering. But the only way for that to happen is for us to grow our roots down deep into Jesus. Otherwise, you can be guaranteed of this: suffering will knock us down, and sometimes it will knock us out. Unless we are rooted into Jesus. Paul was rooted into Jesus. Therefore, he was okay with his having to suffer, if that's what Jesus intended for to happen to him. You read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he endured a lot of suffering. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and left to float in the open sea for a period of time. He was cold and naked and hungry and thirsty and lonely at times. It was quite an ordeal of suffering that he had to go through. And I'm thinking, you know, my resume for suffering isn't very long. In fact, it's hard to even get started with that kind of a resume when you're talking about suffering for Jesus. But we may have more and more opportunities for suffering as we go along. For we're seeing the direction that our country is going, and we are living in a world and we are living in a country that has become anti-Jesus and anti-Christianity. And if we are willing to take a stand for Jesus, there may be some time ahead where we are called to suffer for his name's sake. And I can tell you for sure, if we are not rooted into Jesus, we're going to try and bypass those times of suffering the best that we can. We won't want to have anything to do with suffering for Jesus. We're going to want an easy Christianity. We're going to want a sugar-coated Christianity. Unless we are rooted into Jesus and we understand that suffering can be a part of our Christianity. I was thinking about that even this morning as I was studying this, and I was reminded of what my brethren in India have said to me. They have said to me, "Kevin, don't pray for us to not have persecution. Rather, pray for us to endure through persecution." Wow. Let me give to you a second point. Not only do we see Paul willing to suffer for Jesus, but we also see him willing to be a servant to others. Let me read to you from Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 says this: "God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you." Paul was all about other people. I was listening to my son-in-law's sermon recently on the web, and in his preaching, he said this: there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who walk into a room and say, "Here I am," and those who walk into a room and say, "Ah, there you are." Paul was the second kind of person. Paul was the person who was all about others. That's why he left, and so was Jesus. That's why he left heaven, was because he was all about others. He emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant. That kind of mentality makes an impact on other people. I heard recently the story of a there you are kind of person whose name was Johnny. They call him Johnny the Bagger. John Ortberg actually tells this story. Johnny works at a grocery store, and one day he was at a training event for all of those who were connected with the supermarket that he worked for. There were about 3,000 people at this training seminar, truck drivers and cashiers and stockers and people who bagged the groceries. The lady's name who was speaking to them was named Barbara Glantz. And Barbara was speaking to this group about how they could make a difference in other people's lives. She described how every interaction with another person is a chance to make a difference in their life, to make a memory, to bless someone's life. And she talked about how important it is to look for those moments. And she had placed on the walls, as she always does when she speaks, posters with inspiring sayings. And she told some stories that day. And then she went home, but she left her phone number behind. She invited the people at the conference, if you'd like to talk to me about anything of what I've talked to you about, then give me a call. About a month later, Barbara received a call from one of the people at that session, a 19-year-old bagger named Johnny. And Johnny proudly informed her that he had Down syndrome. And he told her his story. He said, "Barbara, I liked what you talked about, but I didn't think I could do anything special for our customers. After all, I'm just a bagger," he said. And then he had an idea. He decided that every night when he went home from work, he would find a thought for the day that he could share with the customers the next day of work. It would have to be something positive. It would be a reminder of how good it is to be alive, or how much people matter, or how many gifts we are surrounded by. If he couldn't find one, he'd just make one up. And every night, his dad would help him enter that saying 6 times on the page of a computer, and then he would make 50 copies. He would have 300 of these thoughts for the day that he could share with the customers that next day at work. And so every day, as Johnny would bag the groceries for someone, he would come to that last bag, and he would pick up the thought for the day, and he would stick it in the bag, and he would look that person straight in the eye, and he would say to them, "I've put a saying in your bag. I hope it helps you have a good day. Thanks for coming here today." A month later, the store manager called Barbara and said, "Barbara, you're not going to believe what's happened here. I was making my rounds in the store. I got up to where the cashiers are, and the line where Johnny was working was 3 times longer than anyone else's line. It went all the way down the frozen food aisle," he said. "And so I got some other cashiers, and I said, 'Hey, we need some more lines open here for all of these customers.' He said, 'Barbara, they would not move out of Johnny's line. They wanted to be in Johnny's line. They said, we want to get his thought for the day.' And one woman came up to him and said, 'I used to shop in your store once a week. Now I come in every time I go by. I want to get Johnny's thought for the day.'" You say, "Kevin, is that really true?" That's a true story. In fact, I looked it up on the internet, and I saw the testimony of Barbara Glantz about Johnny. He's doing more than filling bags with groceries. He's filling lives with hope and joy. And that's the kind of person we can be when we decide that we want to be a there you are kind of person rather than a here I am kind of person. And Paul was a there you are kind of person. You see that over and over and over through the New Testament writings as he's just loving on those people in the churches. He's concerned about them. He's like a shepherd with the sheep. He's gentle with them, and yet he's honest with them because he loves them. And he's willing to sacrifice himself for them. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to be a servant. And thirdly, we see Paul willing to be a steward of the good news. In other words, he was willing to share the story of Jesus with others. He was not holding the story of Jesus to himself. Let me read to you from Colossians chapter 1 again, verse 25 through 28. God has given me, and we've read this already, but I want to read it in context. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ. I am so glad that somebody shared the message of salvation with me. In fact, several somebodies did that. And otherwise, I would be on the road to hell and not even know about it. And we too need to be willing to be a steward of the good news of Jesus. There are people in our sphere of influence. There are friends that we have, and there are family members that we have who need to hear the message of Jesus. Let me read to you again, verse 28. I read to you the first part of that verse, but I want to read the whole verse to you and then verse 29. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Listen, Paul was not just interested in getting people saved. He wanted to help them grow in their faith. He wanted to help people grow their roots down deep into Jesus. And that's why he was warning them. That's why he was teaching them. That's why he was working and struggling so hard, and he was depending on the mighty power of Jesus that works within us. All of that he was doing to help people in their relationship with Jesus, to get them saved and to get them growing deep in their faith. And I hope and pray that's our heart and our desire, that we're not just into ourselves, but that we are into one another, and that we are willing to tell the good news about Jesus and help people grow up in their faith. And if he calls us to suffer along the way, that we will be ready to do that with his help. Let's pray together. God, we don't know what our future holds, but we know that you hold the future and you hold us in your hands. if you would call any of us to suffer for your name's sake, may we be willing. And that may not be in the form of stones being thrown at us, but it may be in the form of words being spoken to us, against us, or people laughing at us, thinking we're weird, or us feeling a bit lonely and rejected because we've stood up for Jesus and the crowds left us behind. Help us to have the kind of commitment that we need to have that would make us markedly different from the world. And God, would you give us a servant's heart? Would you help us to have a there you are kind of attitude rather than a here I am? We need your Spirit to fill us up and to help us be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name.